And turn with me in the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. And chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're still looking at verse 13. So we'll read that again today. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that was message number one, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, message number two, unto a perfect man, message number three, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that will be today's message, message number four from this verse. Till we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come. All whom? Well, this letter was written to the Ephesian church. And as written to the Ephesian church, he was instructing all the members, till we all come, all members of the Ephesian church, come under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The aim and ambition of every true church is to arrive at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Every church, Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, is that our ambition? Is that our desire? To arrive at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Do we know what that means? If that's not our aim, then we ought to be ashamed. Yes. We ought to be ashamed if that's not our aim. If that's not what we're looking forward to, if that's not what we're expecting as a church. Who's the church? Who's the church? Who's the body of Christ? Every member here at Grace Baptist Church. And again, I remind you that all members are to be sharing in this accomplishment. That's that is our work. That is our endeavor. That's been obvious to us as we've gone through this fourth chapter. That's the instructions that we have been given. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, and we've been there. We've been there many times in the course of this study. And we'll probably be going there more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those members that have been set in there by Christ. Each one in particular. He says in this verse, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That is particular. That means that it's the Greek word that carries with it this meaning. Assigned to one. We've been assigned to this one. These that this letter to the Corinth the church at Corinth was written. They had been assigned as members to that body of Christ at Corinth. Also carries with it the idea of one of the constituent parts of a whole. Constituent. That is, parts of a thing that are essential. Each member of the Ephesian church was essential to that Ephesian church. And each member of the Grace Baptist Church is essential to Grace Baptist Church. Necessary. You see, we are a body. We are a body that is fitly framed together by the Lord Himself. Going back to the book of Ephesians and the second chapter. And we covered this, however long ago it was that we were in the second chapter. But chapter 2, verse 21. In whom all the building, we're a building, fitly framed together. We'll have more to say later on that fitly framed. Actually, the next couple of verses beyond this, we'll have more to say on that. But in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth, maketh increase unto an holy temple in the Lord. That is what our increase is to be unto. That's what our growth is to be unto. A holy temple in the Lord. And so, he says in verse 16, which is, when we get there, we'll have a lot to say on this subject. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And boy, that is a mouthful. Amen. I said we had, this is the fourth message on verse 13. There may be more than four messages on when we get to verse 16. We'll see how the Lord leads. I've been working on that some already. In fact, yesterday I was working on it some. To understand what we have here in this 13th verse, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature. What does stature mean? Well, if you remember a few months ago when we were in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, and it asked the question, can you add one cubit to your stature? And if you remember that message, the meaning of that Greek word is full age. So the meaning of that question asked, can you add any length, a cubit, can you add any length of time to your age? Can you take away any length of time from your age? That's what the word means. It means full age. It means adult. Couple other examples. I gave you an example in Matthew 6, but turn with me to the book of John just to see how this word is used. In the book of John, chapter 9, and here in this verse that we'll be looking at, Jesus had healed a blind man who was blind from his birth. Well, questions arose amongst the Jews.
is this really so? Was this man really blind? And if he was blind, when did he become blind? You can just imagine it. The questions that they were asking. They wanted proof that this man had really been made to see. Well, so they ask his parents of this man. And verse 20 says, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. Now, they verified, this is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. That's our word, stature. Full age. He's an adult. He's his own man now. Mm-hmm. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So there's one instance of how it's translated concerning age. Also turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Yes, book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And you know this passage of Scripture, you should. Verse 11 is concerning Sarah. Remember Abraham and Sarah? Remember what Hebrews 11 says about Sarah? Through faith, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was of full age. Should have been able to have children, but she was even past the age of childbearing. You see? Because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen. Amen.
You see? She was past age. So this word stature has to do with full age. It has to do with becoming an adult. So, under the measure of the full age, the adulthood of the fullness of Christ. Well, the word fullness, what do you think that means in the Greek? What is simply filled? Filled. Is what it means. Let's look at a couple examples of how it's used in Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 9. Actually, probably be looking at this when we get into the 9th chapter. But chapter 9 and verse 16. Jesus said, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it, that's our word, to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. The tear is made worse. In other words, fill it up. That's what it means. Also in coming home to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm sure we dealt with this when we were in the third chapter some time ago. In verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled up with all the fullness, with the filling of God. All the fullness of God. The same manner in which God is filled up, Paul was praying that they might be filled up to that extent. And he continues it in this 13th verse in chapter 4. So, we are to become full age. We're to become adults to a measure, to the measure of filling up with all the fullness of Christ, with all the filling up of Christ. The same manner in which Christ is filled up, we're to be filled up. And that is adulthood. Are you looking for that day? Are you expecting that day? Are you striving for that here? Am I striving for that here? That's the work of the church. The body. Each member. Trying to attain unto that. This is the standard. It is the standard of perfection for the church. The church is to be looking forward to being an adult filled with Christ. All that is in Christ is to be in us. Some would say on that note, impossibility. Well, we know that we can't attain to it, to perfection in this life. The Apostle Paul knew it. But that didn't stop his striving. That didn't stop the desire that was in him to reach that goal that was set before him. The church becomes adult when it reaches the state wherein it is filled with an abundance, a full measure of Christ. Wow. What a day. We all are to be moving toward, we're all to be arriving at that blessed state. As we've said before, that's our goal. Is that your goal? Is that my goal as a member of Grace Baptist Church? Or are we just playing at this game we call church? Are we just playing at this game that we call worship? Are we just playing at pleasing God? Is that our true desire? To be pleasing unto God? You see, as the body of Christ is fitly framed together, every member, every joint fulfilling its intended purpose in unity, edifying the body of Christ, then Christ is glorified. And if Christ is glorified, then God is glorified. You'll hear that again before we get through the next two or three verses. Verse 21 of chapter 3. Unto Him be glory in the church. Unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. By Christ Jesus. And it's as we're reaching adulthood, being filled with the abundance of Christ, we bring glory to God. That's our purpose. That's our intention. That's why God said unto Him be glory in the church. This can only be accomplished in the church
of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. We've got several scriptures to be looking at. And then we'll close. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 9. It says, "For in Him..." That's in Christ. Don't take my word for it. Look at verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him," in Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness." Filled up. Christ is filled up with the Godhead bodily, in body form. Mm-hmm. Simply what that means. Mm-hmm. As a man that tabernacled amongst men, He was filled with all the goodness, all the Godhead, in body form.
Amen.
Wow. We're to be. We're to be. Aren't we? Aren't we? What did He tell the Roman church? Turn with me to the book of Romans. A verse that we know well. Romans 8 and verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow..." Let me stop right there. Let me ask you. Did He foreknow you?
Amen.
Well, if He foreknew you, then He predestinated you. He predetermined you to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.
You see? We're to be like Christ. We're to be filled with Christ. Just as He was filled with the Godhead in a body form, we're to be filled with it. What did He tell the churches of Galatia? Turn with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 4. In verse 19, "My little children," the churches of Galatia, He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Paul, through the preaching of the gospel, had given birth to the churches of Galatia. And now they were wanting to be deceived and to thinking that, well, along with salvation by grace, there had to be some works mixed in with it. Namely, in their day, you got to be circumcised. You Gentiles, you've got to be circumcised like we Jews have been circumcised. Or you can't be really saved. That was their idea. Paul is trying to set them straight. Correct. And here he says, "Till Christ be formed in you." Well, that's a work that we're responsible for. Two, we're responsible to be being filled with Christ. But ultimately, God works it in us.
Amen.
As we are willing participants in it, as His children. You see, and Paul was trying to make that evident to them. Well, what did he tell the Corinthian church? And actually, he told the Corinthian church this in, well, he wrote two letters to them. In each letter,
He talks to them about this. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 49. And he says this to them. He says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthly..." Yeah, that's what we do. Each one of us bears the image of the earthly, and particularly as our parents were, so are we. I mean, and we all have those resemblances of our parents and grandparents and maybe great-grandparents and on down the line. But we have the resemblance of an earthly. "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly." You see, we're to be, and we don't have to wait till He comes, until we get there, to bear the image of the heavenly. We can be bearing it now. Now, we know not to completeness, but we that's our end goal. That was Paul's end goal. That was Peter's end goal. That ought to be my end goal, and that ought to be your end goal. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 18, he said this to them. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, by the Holy Spirit, which he dwelt on in Romans chapter 8 to the Roman church, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit being in us, and we being led by it, and thereby we cry, "Father, Father." He says, even though we're in this glass, this veil of flesh, and we can't see clearly, we're being changed. We're being changed by the Word and the working power of the Holy Spirit of God. As we go to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God. It ought to be changing us. But let me ask you a question. Or are these just words on a page? Oh, how oft do I, how oft do you sit down and look at these words, and they're just words on a page? They're just words on a page. We read the Scriptures. We might even be able to quote the Scriptures. But they really have no real significance. No real bearing on our life. Because we failed to get in touch with the Holy Spirit, realizing that He's our teacher, our instructor, the one who works the power of God in our lives. Oh, we need the working power of the Holy Spirit in us. We've been talking about Paul and the goal that was set before him and the endeavor that he endeavored. And he makes that clear to the Church of Philippi. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians in chapter 3. And look with me at verse 9. Verse 9. We read, I don't like starting there. Let's begin with verse 7. "But what things were gain to me," he says that after he cited his credentials, his upbringing, his background, in the Jews' religion, and educated by the best educator of the known time period, at the feet of Gamaliel. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Since Christ came into my heart, came into my life, those things are nothing. Nothing. They're just words. They're just teachings. They were empty. Because they were without Christ. There were those things which should have showed them Christ, should have taught them Christ. But they didn't see Christ in them. But one day he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now those things, all his education, all his credentials, all his upbringing was nothing. Nothing. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Yes, I've lost those things, I've cast them behind me, and I count them waste, refuse, that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
That I may win Christ. That word win means gain. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is works, and before God is filthy rags, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the righteousness of God that was revealed to him in faith. Faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. That I may know him. Well, it sounds like he already knew him. What's he saying here by this word know? Well, he wanted to know more about him. He wanted to know more of him. Well, let's continue reading. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. What he wanted is he wanted to have more of a partnership, more of a participation in the fullness of Christ. All the experiences of Christ. He wanted men to look at him and to despise him as they did Christ, unless they would see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith through the preaching of the gospel. And if that meant suffering as Christ did, so be it, Lord. That's what he wanted. What one of us can say that? What one of us can say, yea, even to die with him as he did? What Paul's desire was. And his resurrection. Oh, Paul was looking forward to the day when this body, though it was battered and beaten, tortured, and laid in the grave, one day is coming forth a new body.
Amen.
Just as Christ was the body of Christ was battered and beaten and bruised and torn, but it came forth.
Amen.
Came forth a new body. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, he was looking forward to it. Not as though I had already. See, I haven't reached the state in Christ that I desire to be in. I haven't attained unto it. But I follow after. I'm running after. I'm following in those steps. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. See? He hasn't arrived there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am not perfect yet. I have not arrived yet. My failures and my shortcomings I'm putting behind me and pressing on. Amen. Following Christ. Amen. In His steps.
You see, look with me at verse 20.
And he said, for our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself.
Yes. What did He say there? There's the day. There's the day of perfection. There's the day that I'm looking forward to. There's the day that I'm striving for. There's the day that I'm following after. There's the day that I'm pursuing after. And one day I shall arrive.
Why? Because my citizenship is in heaven.
And I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, turn with me to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. And verse 16. All those who receive Christ Jesus, not of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but of God, they're in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, and of His fullness, Christ's fullness, have all we received, and grace for grace. You see, we're not filled up yet to the full. We're not perfect yet. We're not complete yet. But we have received His filling. We're being filled. Thus, Romans 8:29. We're being conformed. In the name of the Son. We're being formed in Him. We're bringing forth unto the glory of God. Is that our heart's desire as Grace Baptist Church, as members of Grace Baptist Church? Is that our desire to be filled with His filling? Filled up to full with His filling? To arrive at adult state and status? Then we ought to see that endeavor. We ought to see that pursuit in the lives of each one of us. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in a word of prayer.